Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
I want to read you a quick story before we get started today. David, a two-year-old with leukemia, was taken by his mother, Deborah, to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston to see Dr. John Truman, who specializes in treating children with cancer and various blood diseases. Dr. Truman's prognosis was devastating. He has a 50-50 chance, he said. The countless clinic visits, the blood tests, the intravenous drugs, the fear and the pain, the mother's ordeal can almost be as bad as the child's because she has to stand by, unable to bear the pain herself. David never cried in the waiting room, and although his friends in the clinic had to hurt him and stick needles in him, he hustled in ahead of his mother with a smile, sure of the welcome that he always received. When he was three, David had to have a spinal tap, a painful procedure at any age. It was explained to him that because he was sick, Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. If it hurts, remember, it's because he loves you, his mother told him. The procedure was horrendous. It took three nurses to hold David still while he yelled and sobbed and struggled. And when it was almost over, the tiny boy, soaked in sweat and tears, looked up at the doctor, gasped, and said, "Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting." You know, sometimes God has to operate a little bit like Dr. Truman. Sometimes in order to heal us from something, there has to be hurt involved. Sometimes in order for God to grow us, there has to be pain that we walk through. And sometimes God's way of protecting us will mean that we will have to go through some sort of difficulty. And here's what I've seen in my short little life of mine. I've seen God protect me in some crazy ways. As I've looked back and I've seen the hand of God in my life, I've seen him do some things for my protection that I didn't necessarily enjoy in the moment. I've seen God take some people out of my life that I cared about for my protection. I've seen God make me have some frustrations and not get what I want in the moment for my protection. And you know what? I've seen God make me wait. And if you know me, you know I don't like to wait on nothing. But I have seen God make me wait. Why? Because he is protecting me from something. I've seen God protect me in some crazy ways. And I almost guarantee you this morning that if you will look back over the course of your life, if you'll look in the rearview mirror just for a moment, you will see some things that happened, and while they happened, you didn't like it. You blamed God, maybe even. But if you look back, you can see, you know what? That was God's hand of protection on my life. Can you think of any? We've been in this series of messages that we started last week called What's This For? And my goal is to maybe enlighten us to why we have to go through some things that we have to go through and why God operates sometimes the way he does. If you missed last week we talked about the fact that sometimes things happen in our lives for the glory of God so that God can display his awesomeness and his amazing power in and through us. And we looked that there's more to the story, my story for God's glory. Today, I want us to see how sometimes we can go through certain situations so that God can protect us. We're going to look at the story of Noah's Ark. Most of us know the story of Noah's Ark. Even if you've never cracked open a Bible in your life, you probably know a little bit of the story of Noah's Ark. There's been movies made about it. None of them particularly good except for Evan Almighty. We've thought up little statements, right? When it rains a lot, we'll say, "I think I saw some animals walking two by two." We'll say, "Hey, I'm going to build a boat. Need to build a boat? I know a guy." Come on, y'all. I built that whole thing up to that. No, I'm just kidding. But most of us know the story of Noah's ark. When we hear that story, we normally think of kind of the basics of the story, that Noah had to build this ark and he had to put all the animals on it. They came two by two. The flood happened. It ended. God put a rainbow in the sky to remind us and promise us that it would never happen again. And so my goal today as we walk through this story isn't just to tell you this story again, but my goal today is to walk through this story and help for you to see not just what happened with Noah, but why it had to happen with Noah. And so that you can see how God uses this entire story to actually protect Noah. Here's my title. You can write this down, or you don't have to. I'll never know. Underwater, but still afloat. Anybody feel like I've been underwater, but somehow God has kept me afloat? Underwater, but still afloat. And I want to talk to some people this morning who are struggling with something that they don't understand, who are in a place in their life, no matter what area of life, but they're in a place that they don't understand. Or I want to talk to some people today who have lost something in their lives, who have had something slip through their fingertips, have had something go out of their lives, and they've been racking their brain trying to figure out, why is God doing this? And then what happens is we start to wonder, why is God doing this? And then we start to ask all of those typical questions like, have I made some sort of big sin? Have I made some sort of big decision? Am I out of the will of God? Has God's grace just ran out on me? I want to talk to some people today who are racking their brain trying to figure out, why am I going through this? What is this for? So if you find yourself in that tension, I want to open our eyes to three possible things that God could be doing for our protection. We're going to start in Genesis 6, verse 14. This is God speaking to Noah. He says, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long. So just so you know, a cubit is from the tip of the finger to the elbow, about 18 inches. 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening one cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. So if you don't know the backstory here, God is about to restart the human race. And he's going to do so with a flood. Why is he going to restart the human race? Because the human race has become extremely wicked. The human race has become so wicked that God is a God of just and justice, and so he has to bring some sort of judgment on the earth. And now I know what you're thinking, man, the God of the Old Testament was mean. Well, no, it was the same God. God had been patient with these people. God had been calling them to repent and turn from their wickedness for over a century. And so God finally gets to the point where he's like, I've got to exercise some judgment on these people. It wasn't the time for Jesus to be born yet so that we could escape the judgment through Jesus. And so God decides, I've got to send this flood and I'm going to restart the human race. I'm going to save Noah and his family so that everything can be redone. The Bible says that Noah finds favor in the eyes of God, that he's a righteous man. It's the kind of, in today's surroundings and context, we become righteous through a relationship with Jesus. And so the Bible says that Noah is a righteous man, and so he chooses Noah to be the one to start it all over with. But I do find it interesting that when God wants to protect Noah, God asked Noah to build a boat. Now keep in mind that at this point, Noah is approximately 500 years old. That's old, y'all. Like, I don't even know how you swing a hammer at 500 years old. You can't even bend down and nail like the bottom of this boat. He's maybe 500 years old. And the Bible gives no indication that at this point in history, it's rained. You know, sometimes God asks us to do hard things for our protection. Noah, at 500 years old, is going to have to go to work on this boat, and it's going to be no easy task. It's going to require a lot of energy. It's going to require a lot of time. Noah's not a professional boat builder. He doesn't even have a nail gun. He doesn't have modern technology. He doesn't have a crane. He doesn't have any of that stuff. And on top of that, people are going to think he's a moron, because it's never rained, and he tells them there's a flood coming. This is going to be hard
work. But Noah, realizing the hard task at hand, goes to work on his boat. And here's something that I thought of literally this morning, so this is really fresh. Notice God doesn't provide Noah with a boat. God provides Noah with wood and instructions on how to build a boat. Because what we like to do sometimes is we like to sit on the sidelines and wonder why God isn't doing what we think he should do. Sometimes God will give you the raw materials, and it's up to us to go to work and make it happen. So sometimes when God wants to protect you, he calls you to do something in order for you to operate under his protection. Sometimes we like to sit there and wait on him to do something or even blame him, but God is a good instruction and wood giver. But God does not provide a boat here for Noah. And some of you today are being asked to go through some hard things, aren't you? Like, I know some of your stories. You're being asked to go through some hard things, and you're wondering, why am I having to go through this? You're wondering, why is this happening this way? Why do I have to go through this season of pain? Why did I lose that relationship? Why did I lose out on that job offer? Why did I lose it? And you're wondering, why in the world? Have you ever thought that maybe whatever that place is you're in right now, could it have happened that way for your protection? Could it have happened that way? Because God, not because he's trying to punish you, but because he's trying to protect you. Some of you right now are wrestling through a decision. You've got a decision to make, and you know the right choice. You know what you're supposed to do, but you haven't done it because it's going to be hard. It's going to lead to more difficulty. Sometimes God asks us to do hard things for our protection. There are people in the room today, and you have some internal struggles that you've been going through for so long that you've refused to deal with because it's going to be hard. Today, God is asking you to deal with those things for your protection. Some of you are dealing with some childhood trauma. Maybe you were abused as a child. Maybe the people that were supposed to be there for you weren't. And so you've carried that with you, and now you're 40, 50, 60 years old, and you still have these things from your past that you've never dealt with, and God wants you to deal with them. He wants you to go through it, even though it's going to be hard now, so that you can go through it now so that he can protect you from it later. Sometimes we have to go through something that we don't like now to get a result that we would like later. Some of us have dealt with abandonment issues our entire life. Maybe the people that were supposed to love you as a child abandoned you. Or maybe it happened as an adult, and maybe a spouse just walked out. And so now you can't have any serious relationships. You don't trust anybody around you. You never trust when somebody tells you, I love you. And what God is saying to you today is it's going to be difficult to deal with those, but you've got to go through the hard thing now so that I can protect you later. Some of you are dealing with an addiction issue. It's been going on for a while now, and you've tried to deny it. You've tried to hide it. As a matter of fact, most people that aren't really close to you don't even know it, but you know it's not right, and you've been trying to get by on just sheer willpower, and you've been trying to think, I'll get to it later. I'll get rid of it later, but God is calling you today to go to Celebrate Recovery. He's calling you today to get some help, to do something that's hard now so that you get the result that you want later. Some of you are dealing with a sin issue. Just got quiet. Some of you are dealing with a sin issue, and it keeps coming back. You've tried so many times just to stop it. You've tried so many times to quit looking. You've tried so many times to quit going there. But yet you continue to go back, and what God is asking you to do today is he's saying, get some accountability, get some people in your life and listen to them and go through something hard now so that I can protect you later. It's going to be difficult, but sometimes God's protection looks like us doing something difficult, and sometimes we have to go through what we don't like now for what we'll want later. And if you don't do it now, and if you're not willing to do the hard work now, you're not going to be able to get the protection that God wants to give you later. Just like Noah, we build now so that we'll be better later. Noah has to build this boat that's going to protect him and his family. So he gets his hammer,
somehow gets down low at 500 years old, gets to work, and he finishes this boat. And then Genesis 7:7 says, "And Noah and his sons and his wife, his sons and his wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood." Skip to verse 16. "Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth." Do you see how God is protecting him now? Do you see it? He shuts them inside this boat. Now, just take off your Bible glasses just for a moment. Pretend we're not in church. Just for a moment. Can you imagine what this was like for Noah? You've been building this boat. Some scholars will say it was almost 75 years that it took you to build this boat. So maybe you're 575 years old. You've got all of the animals on this ark. You've got your sons. You've got your daughter-in-laws. You've got the lions. Can you imagine how terrifying it would be to look at like the lion corner of the ark? You've got all these smells going on. You don't know how long you're going to be on this thing, but you've walked by faith. You've done the hard thing. You step onto the ark, and then clop, the door shuts behind you. Wouldn't you almost pee your robe? But why did God shut the door? There's several different answers. One of those answers, which I believe is partially correct, is because it symbolizes us being in Christ, that Christ is now our protection. But do you know why I think God shut the door behind them? So that the rain wouldn't get in the boat, so that they wouldn't drown like everybody else. And sometimes God will close doors for your protection too. Sometimes God will close doors for your protection too. Sometimes you will be going through something. As you walk the walk of faith, sometimes you will be going through something. You will be begging God for an answer. You'll be begging God to give you that thing, and he will slam the door in your face. And I've said it before, and I will say it until the day I die. Some of God's greatest blessings in your life and in my life are in the doors that he closes, not just the ones he opens. And some of you have been blaming God and have been fussing at God and have even taken steps away from God because he shut a door that you desperately wanted to be open. Can I tell you that God loves you too much to open every door that you come to? He loves you too much just to let you walk from door to door to door. God will close doors to protect you, and he will close doors to direct you. Some of you have seen that play out in your life, haven't you? Where a door closed and it rerouted you and it literally saved your life. This word Lord, when it says the Lord shut him in, that's a personal term for the word for the Lord. It's Yahweh. It's a personal term. It signifies a personal relationship. And why do I bring that up? Because some of us think that when God closes the doors that it means he's mad at us or he doesn't love us. No, God's closing this door behind Noah and his family, not to punish them, but it's because he has a personal relationship and it's to protect them. Do you ever notice that in commercial buildings, most of the doors have an auto close on them? The reason why that is because essentially if a fire breaks out in a building and the doors are open, it almost provides a pump to pump the fire through the building. It provides oxygen to the fire and it keeps it moving along the building. And so the reason why the doors are supposed to close automatically is because it shuts off that pump and begins to starve the fire, at least until the fire department can get there. And so what I read was that closing the doors limit the spread of smoke and limits the oxygen that's available for combustion. Have you ever had God close some doors in your life to keep you from combusting? To keep from something spreading in your life? Sometimes God will shut the door in your face because there is something ahead that is going to get to you, and when it gets to you, it is going to spread through you. Maybe that door that you've been knocking on and you've been trying to pound down, but God continues to close it. Maybe if you go through that door, if you make it through that door, maybe there is something on the other side of that door. Maybe you don't even see it. Maybe you can't tell it yet. Maybe it's not immediately. Maybe it's 5 years down the road, but there is something on the other side of that door that is going to spread through your life. Maybe it's going to cause a whole new set of issues in your life. Maybe it's going to destroy some important relationships to you. Maybe it's going to cause you to have new addictions and new sin problems. Maybe it's going to do something that's going to rob you of your faith and your joy and your peace. Sometimes God will close doors to keep you from going through them so that stuff won't spread in your life. Leaning on top of that made my iPad shut down. Maybe you tried to have a group of people become your friends. We do this as adults. Come on now. And you couldn't quite make it with that group. Well, maybe the reason why you couldn't is because they weren't going to be good for you. Maybe that house that you tried to buy that you couldn't get the loan on, and you thought that was your dream house. You thought everything lined up perfectly. Maybe the reason is because there was something there that when you got there, it wouldn't have met your expectations and it wouldn't have been best for you. Maybe you tried to sell your house recently, and you didn't have anybody coming by to look at it, and you never got the offer that you needed. Well, maybe the reason is because God's closing that door because he wants you to stay put. Maybe that job that you got denied for, and you're thinking, if they would just call me back. You even send those little test emails. Hey, just following up on this. What you're really thinking is, you lazy bum, it's been a month and a half. Maybe God didn't give you that job because there was somebody there, or there was something there that was going to affect your life in a negative way. Maybe that college you didn't get into. Maybe there was a door closed there because there was something on the other side that God knew wasn't best for you. God often shuts doors for our protection, not just our punishment, just like he does here with Noah and his family. Here's what's interesting about this flood. This wasn't just your average flash flood warning kind of flood. It wasn't like it started to rain and then several weeks later the earth was flooded, or started to rain and then it was a couple of days went by and you started seeing the streets flooded and stuff like that. This was a cataclysmic flood. And so essentially what would have happened is water would have came from above and below. Water would have literally saturated and flooded the earth in a really, really short amount of time. As a matter of fact, not long after God shut this door behind Noah and his family, this flood would have ridden everything from the earth. Can we just thank God today that sometimes he's willing to close doors in our lives? Because he's protected you from things that you will never know about. So let's skip ahead in the story. Genesis 8, verse 6 says, after 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven. This was a practice by sailors at the time. And it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. And there's so much in those two verses with the raven and the dove. They have symbolism, but we're not going to talk about all that. Verse 9, but the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. So the 40 days of flooding are over. And can't you just imagine how eager this family is to get off this dang boat? Like, they've watched everything they downloaded from Netflix. Their iPads are dead. They got nothing left. They're probably bickering at each other because the whole family is there, in-laws and everybody. The kids are probably fighting, even though they're older and married now. They're probably bickering back and forth. Noah's wife has got to be getting on his nerves at this point, and Noah's thinking, if I could just have some me time. And the rain finally stops, and God won't let him off the boat. Why? Because even though the rain had stopped, the earth was still flooded. And sometimes God asks us to stay in hard places for our protection. Noah and his family would end up spending over a year on the ark.
when they got on the ark, they didn't have any idea how long they were going to be on there. They didn't know what they were supposed to pack. They didn't know how much food to bring. They didn't know how long they would be there, but God knew the entire time. And I say that because I want somebody to hear me say today that God knows how long you have to stay in your hard place. That I know you've been racking your brain and it hurts and it's painful and you just want out and you just want the next door to open. But maybe, just maybe, you can't leave where you are quite yet and it's for your protection. Maybe there's something on the other side. Maybe there is something through that door you've been wanting to walk through that's going to take you down if you step away. Maybe if you move now, you'll miss the blessing that God has been doing in while he's had you in this place. Maybe if you meet Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright now, maybe you're not in a place to handle that relationship. Maybe if you step out of the difficult place you're in right now, you'll be stepping out into too deep of waters and you will drown. So they finally do get to come off the boat. Look at Genesis 8:18. It says, so Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. 1 year, 17 days later, the same God who asked 500-year-old Noah to do something hard for his protection, the same God who shut the door behind Noah and his family for their protection, and the same God that made them stay in that ark even after the flood, the rain had stopped, that same God would allow them to step off of that ark and see a new world for the first time. If there's one thing that I want you to hear me say today, it's this. God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Through everything you go through everything you will ever come up against, through every shut door, through every broken door, through every hard thing, through every easy thing, through every broken relationship, through every repaired relationship, I can stand up here this morning and I can promise you that God always keeps his promise. He always keeps his promise to you. He has never woke up one morning and had the thought, I forgot to do that yesterday. His attention is never divided. It's always on you, and we have a God who always keeps his promises. He will keep you. He will love you. He will never forsake you. He will guide you, and he will provide for you, and he will protect you. He'll protect you from the people, from the crazy people that are out there. They're not in here. They're out there. He'll protect you from the people. He'll protect you from the destruction. He'll even protect you from you. He'll even protect you when it doesn't make sense. He'll even protect you if it means that, like Dr. Truman, there has to be a little pain in the process. God loves you too much to not close doors, to not call you to do difficult things, and to get you out of the difficult place too early. You may feel hopeless today. But I want to guarantee you, you may feel like you're underwater, but the hand of God is on you and you are still floating. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there's some people sitting in this room or watching online right now. And when I started to talk, it suddenly, your situation made a little bit of sense. Maybe just right now, right in the quietness of this moment, maybe you would ask God, God, help for me to go through the hard place and to see your faithfulness. God, thank you for protecting me. even when I didn't want it.
There are others of you who don't have a relationship with Jesus. And it is true. Jesus is our ark. He's the one that when we're in Christ, we escape the flood. We escape the judgment of God. You see, our sin, our imperfections demand the judgment of a perfect and holy God. But in Jesus, y'all, in Jesus, we escape that judgment and we get to enter into this personal relationship with the King of the universe, and it's only through Jesus. If you need a relationship with Jesus this morning, you can pray this prayer. There's nothing magical about the prayer. It's just a belief and a confession of what you believe. You can just say, Jesus, I know I've missed the mark. I know I'm sinful. But I believe that you are the way, that you're the answer. I believe you're the Son of God and that you willingly died for me. I put my trust in you. I'm going to follow you to the best of my ability. I surrender to what I want. I want you to be my King. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're about to take communion together. There's a card in your chair. If you have any questions about communion, maybe you don't understand what is this exactly. It's our way of remembering what Jesus has done, that we're safe inside of him, that he was willing to die and bleed for our sins. And sometimes people will ask, because different traditions do it different ways, if I'm not a member, can I still take communion with you? If you're a believer in Jesus today, we welcome you to do that. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. When I do, you can move to one of these tables around the auditorium. You can go and get your communion elements. Come back to your seat and go ahead and take those with whoever you're with, your family or somebody sitting around you. But this is a moment for us to remember the ultimate ark, the ultimate protector and savior of our souls. John 3:16, the most famous verse in all of the Bible, says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the essence of what we celebrate today. That through the sacrifice, through the body being broken, through the blood being spilled of Jesus, we get eternal life with him. So we're going to remember that. We're going to thank him for that. This is a holy moment, one for us to reflect and celebrate what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your protection. I thank you for how you're unwilling just to let us walk through life comfortable, that you love us too much to just let us be comfortable. God, I pray for the people under the sound of my voice who are struggling to see your faithfulness, because to them it doesn't seem like faithfulness. God, would you please just remind them that you have never been unfaithful, that you keep your promises, and that you're protecting them by asking them to do hard things, by closing doors and asking them to stay in hard places just a little longer. God, help for us to be faithful. God, I thank you for Jesus, the Son of God, the only way to you. Jesus, for your body and for your blood, the precious blood of Jesus. We worship you. We remember. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.